Rachel wrote a beautiful song called Nevertheless, and I was going to have her sing it today, but she is off abroad in England, so we have her demo CD that I want to share right now, the song Nevertheless. And I want you to look at the heart of Jesus Christ and what he had to deal with in accepting the responsibility of dying for all mankind.
Daddy, is there another way for the people to be saved? Jesus fell down on his face and he prayed, is there another way? Is there another way?
Matthew chapter 26, let's look at verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but thou wilt, but as thou wilt. And he said again a second time, in verse 42, he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, he knew his destiny from the scriptures. And he realized that God would protect him, but he was human. If there was another possibility, just gave God that opportunity, there was another way. You know, that would be great, but if not, I'm going to do your will. I don't know how many times we've all thought about, well, what if, you know, God, if you'll just save me from this thing, I'll do everything I will the rest of my life. You know, we've all had that, where if Jesus Christ was the adversary, the devil tempted him and said, if thou be the Son of God. There's a lot of ifs in life. We need to rise up to God's expectation of our lives, not just, if I can do this, if God will heal me. There was a man that asked, if thou be willing to heal me. And of course, Jesus healed. There's no ifs with God. Everything is set in his word. And Jesus Christ knew that his word would be fulfilled. But he was still human. And that's what I really want to share with you today, that human aspect. He had to receive the word of God, believe it, and walk out on it. How did he learn the scriptures? We know in when he was 12 years old that he was left behind in the temple for 3 days and expounded with them, with the lawyers, about the law. He, at 12 years old, Gabe, can you believe that? 12 years old, he knew the Old Testament. How many of us know the Old Testament? Now, we've been studying a long time, years, 30-some years. I still don't know all the Old Testament. But he knew his destiny. Well, how would he know that? He just picked up the Bible, and then all of a sudden, well, he didn't receive Holy Spirit till he was 30. So how would he know that? It started out with his mother. The angel Gabriel came, appeared to her, and said that thou was found of God to be very favorable before God. And the angel said, in Luke 1, we won't go through this, but angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was highly favored of God and would conceive and bring forth a son called Jesus. He would be great and called the Son of the Highest, would be called the Son of God. Her cousin Elizabeth prophesied and told her she would be blessed among women and blessed be the fruit of her womb. She was called the mother of her Lord. So it started out with his mother. She was told by God through the angel that she would be carrying the Messiah. So she had to make sure that he heard the scriptures. She didn't understand it all. But he had to make it available. You know, a lot of parents make gymnastics available for their kids. They make all these different things that they're good at. Well, this time, in Jesus Christ's life, it wasn't that he had to be this great carpenter, but he had to know his destiny from the Word of God. How important it is as parents that we teach our children the Word of God. Because that's all of our destiny, is the Word of God. It's not, you know, I'm going to be the best accountant or whatever, but I'm going to be the best son of God. That's who we are, and we have to know the scriptures. So she and Joseph had to get him to the place where, you know, there weren't Bibles printed in those days. They had to go to the temple. They had to go where those scrolls were for him to read it. And he did a lot of reading. They probably had to read to him first, or I don't know if they had classes or what, but I can't imagine a 3-4-year-old would be there. But by 12 years old, he knew that he must be about his father's business. So he had to have known a lot of the Word of God. And he expounded it for 3 days. How many of us can sit for 3 days and just on and on and on? Well, what an example. And then when he was 12 years old, he had to say, you know, Mom and Dad, why are you worrying about me? I must be about my father's business. He had to confess the Word of God. He had to confess he was the Son of God. You know, when we receive God's word, we're not just a hearer of it, but we're a doer of it. Part of the doing of it is confessing it, putting it out there. When you start confessing, when we confess Romans 10:9-10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, made whole, made complete, body, soul, and spirit. We are as much redeemed as we are healed, that whole package. None of us deny that we are redeemed, do we? No. Do we deny that we're healed? Sure, there's times. But that's where we fight with our minds to hold that word high in our hearts. Can you see that? How amazing it is that he had to study the scriptures to find out who he was, and then he had to carry him forth. His first miracle was turning the water into wine. His mother told him, hey, Jesus, they got a problem here. They need you. He goes, well, it's not my time yet to give up my life. No, just turn the water into it. Just do whatever he tells you to do. And they had the best wine at the end of the ceremony. You know, that's how big God is, that we just accept, we hear what the word says, and we walk out on it. It takes believing. Jesus Christ was from the seed of Abraham. We are from the seed of Abraham. Abraham was the father of all believing. So what do? We believe the word of God. Let's look at Isaiah 42 and look at some of the scriptures that Jesus Christ... Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Back in Matthew 26, there was two verses I wanted to share with you, or a couple here. You know, after he prayed in the garden, then he was taken. Judas betrayed him. The soldiers came. Peter thought he was going to protect his Lord, so he struck one of the servants of the high priest on his ear. What did Jesus do? Healed the guy. Took care of him. But he said in verse 52, then Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into this place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? God could have given him 72,000 angels to protect him. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? That was his purpose, to fulfill the scriptures. It also said again in verse 55, in the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. So what were some of the scriptures that he had to learn? Isaiah 42. You know, we are such blessed people that we can see from Genesis to Revelation the whole Word of God. In those days, they had the Old Testament. And then, you know, actually the Gospels were written, the book of Acts was written first, and then the Gospels were written after that. I was thinking about it. I wonder if, like, the woman with the issue of blood ever saw her name in print, saw her story. You know, you think about this. There's a time that came from all of that. But God has so prepared his word so that we would all, that all men would believe and come to a knowledge of the truth. Isaiah 42:1, it says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And this is also found in Matthew 3:16-17. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail or be discouraged till he have set judgment on the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people unto it, and spirit to them that walk therein. If I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will uphold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, and bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Jesus Christ read this, that his purpose was to give light to the blind, to deliver the captives that were there, that God would delighted in him. Didn't God say when he was baptized that this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Can you imagine that encouragement that he received? Other people still hadn't figured out who he was. Even his disciples still weren't sure. But he had to fulfill the word of God. He had to speak it. Isaiah 53. And this is where, you know, he learned that he was going to give up his, he was going to become the healer for all mankind. And it wasn't going to be easy. Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. You know, can you imagine? All of his disciples left him at his last hour. You know, that was sorrowful. He sorrowed when Lazarus, his friend, was dead. And acquainted with grief, and we hid him, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And the proper translation should be, he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, beaten for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was smitten, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the living land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief for sickness. When thou shalt have his soul at a sin offering, an offering for sin, we shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus Christ read these very same scriptures, and they could not be fulfilled until he was 30 years old, when he received the Spirit and started his ministry. So can you think? Imagine thinking all these things. He would be beaten. He would be not recognized. But all of the sins, sicknesses, and diseases of all mankind would be put on him. By his stripes we are healed. That is a promise for each one of us. Look in Matthew chapter 8. God allowed every sickness, disease, every mental torment, poverty, everything that the adversary put on the earth after Adam's sin, because in the garden, of Eden, there was no sickness and disease. It was perfect. That's how God wanted our lives to be. We could walk and talk with him, but the adversary came in, and because of this unbelief, because of Adam and Eve not obeying God's word, that was the downfall of all mankind. So God had to redeem us back to that state that he wanted. There is no sickness and disease in the heavenlies. We're seated in the heavenlies. We're complete in Christ. We got born again. We became a new creation in Christ. We're not a remodel. We don't have a wall here that's still part of the old man. It's gone. That's what the scriptures say, and we have to stake our lives on it. Jesus Christ stuck his life on it, and so we got the results. We know that he was raised from the dead because we speak in tongues. We stepped out on the word of God, and in healing, we have to step out on the word of God. Matthew 8, verse 7, verse 16, it says, and when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. He healed all that were sick. It's not a question of, well, is my sickness available to be healed? It's all were healed. Jesus set the example. He set the Father's will. It said Exodus, that I am the Lord that healeth thee. God named himself. Healing has been his desire all along. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Now, all of you English scholars, what tense is that there? Past tense. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ accomplished our healing for us. And we now have to receive it. Just like a present someone has, it might have the most beautiful wrapping on it, and you know, you just don't want to break it. It's just so beautiful. But what's inside? That's the important thing. And Jesus Christ redeemed us so that we could be free from the holds of the adversary. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, or verse 8, I'm sorry. First John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now the devil's still working today. That word destroy is to paralyze. He's here to paralyze. We have the authority of that when we use the name of Jesus Christ, that stops the devil. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory, that behind my hand is Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, God inside of us. We have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Word of God says. We have the choice, if you want to believe or not. I encourage you to believe it because there's power in that. We won't turn to Psalm 107, but it says that he sent his word and healed them. The Word of God is for our healing. And we have to learn the Word of God to receive our deliverance. Most Christians don't know this. They don't know that God so loved them that he would make them complete, that he would allow his son to take on all of that so that we could be free. And is it free for his son to do that and us not to accept it? Shati? No. I've used that many a time. You know, Shati received her deliverance, realizing that he did it for her. We all have to see how much God loves each one of us. Sure, we've all made mistakes. Paul killed the church, killed many, many believers, and yet God trusted him with the greatest revelation in the Word of God, the greatest truth. You know, Ephesians, all the epistles. God's not a respecter of persons. He wants us to believe. That's what we're required to do. Believe the scriptures. Stand on it. Why are we struggling with healing? Well, there's a thief out there. Let's look at John 10:10. I know we all know it, but we need to look at the word more, because that is the truth, and we need to get it into our hearts and minds. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We have a thief out there. And you know what a thief does? He breaks into your house and takes the most precious things. He doesn't go into your refrigerator and take the milk out. No, he doesn't need that. He wants what is precious to you. And what's precious to you is your wholeness. God gave you, when you became born again, you're complete. You are healed, body, soul, and spirit. So what he does is he's trying to steal that from you. And he has no right. What do you do when the thief comes in? You call the police, you call your friends, say, you know, I got someone in here. Someone is trespassing. The devil is trespassing on our lives, and he has no right to. Jesus Christ paid the price, and we need to expect it. We don't accept the lies of the devil, because a thief has no possessions. He has nothing to offer but lies. But he has, you know, he steals from what we have. So we don't accept what he gives us. He wants to give us pain. He wants to give us sickness, disease. He wants to give us heartache. We don't accept it. We expect God's deliverance. Don't accept, expect. Yeah. Think about it. I'm not going to accept that pain. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting and all of a sudden I got up and I couldn't stand up. I had excruciating pain. And I just kind of laughed. I was downstairs with Marley, our dog, and I said, "You've got to be kidding." And I started yelling, "You've got to be kidding. My back is healed." And it took me a while, maybe even a week, to completely get over it, but I did. I told Dr. Pete about it last night, and he goes, "Was your first thought to come to me, get a chiropractic treatment?" I go, "No, it was, this is ridiculous." That should be our thought. It is ridiculous. This is not, I'm not going to accept it. And we keep fighting with our minds and get verbal. You have to get verbal. Get mad. And God's right there. He has provided this, and all he wants us to do is receive it. The children of Israel were given a land of milk and honey. There were wells on it. The gardens were all planted. Everything was there. All they had to do is possess it. Walk in and accept it. They said, "No, there's giants out there. I can't do it." They had fear. Well, possess what's yours. You don't need any. There's no fear. There's perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. We cannot allow fear in our lives. We have to accept what is ours. And God knows how hard it is. That's why he gave us the manifestation of gifts of healing. He gave us a body to take care of each other, to fight for each other. We need to fight together for the good fight of faith. You know, we stand together when we have a problem. When my back went, I called three different believers. Nobody was home. So I continued to say, "This is ridiculous." And finally the calls came and I allowed each person to minister to me. And I kept, "Okay, I'm healed. I had to fight for that. I never did see Dr. Pete. You know, it was just really, really wonderful. Because we've got to fight that. Did you come to fellowship today hoping we would be here? Do you put your money in the bank hoping that when you write a check, there will be money behind it, exchanged? Do you work and hope for a paycheck? Do you hope you'll go to heaven? No. There's no power in the uncertain. There's power in the truth. God's word says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. As thy soul prospers." How does your soul prosper? By feeding it with the word of God. "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." We've got to take time to make this a love story for us, to realize that God loved you so much that there's nothing he would ever allow in your life to hurt you. You just do not accept it, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it in all of its fullness, more abundantly. All the healings in the Gospels testify that Jesus was the healer. He believed and walked out on the word of God. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, it caused a great stir. And that was at the point where they decided, "We're going to have to kill him, because there's too many Jews that are following him." We want to cause a great stir. We want God's people all over the world to see that what type of God we have, a God that loves, a God that heals, that provided wholeness for his people. Christians need to be examples. Recently we heard a definition for a testimony is God will do it again. When you give your testimony, God healed you, and what it does is inspires Debbie to believe that he'll heal her. He'll do it again. He hasn't stopped. He will continue to heal till the very end. It's that when Moses died at 120, his eyes didn't dim, his body didn't fall apart. He was ready to go. We can determine when we're ready to go. I'm not ready to go. I'm ready to fight. A good fight of faith to see God's people delivered. Let's close with Mark chapter 10. You know, when you speak in tongues, do you hope it'll come out? No. You know for a surety that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why you speak in tongues. This word is that sure. And we are expected, what is our destiny? But we're sons of God today, right now. We're expected to carry out the works that Jesus Christ did and more, to bring people back to God, to tell them the word of God. And we're able ministers of the gospel. We know the word, even if you had only one verse, that God will make sure that one person that needs to hear it hears it from you. But we've got to be God's mouthpieces. We have to display how great God is and love people. Most people, all they need to do is be loved. We all need to be loved. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 is a wonderful healing. Let's see. It's blind Bartimaeus. I guess 46, excuse me. Jesus Christ, actually, there's a verse that says that he gave his life. Oh, verse 45 says, even the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for us. We are that important. You know, people put out ransoms to get their children back or something valuable which was taken. We were that taken. We are that valuable that Jesus Christ had to be the only payment for our lives. Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This man, blind Bartimaeus, poor blind Bartimaeus, he was a blind beggar that was sitting on the wayside. That was his place. In the culture of those days, a blind person wore a special cloak to identify who he was. He was a blind, poor Bartimaeus. And he heard of the miracles that Jesus did. He heard that he was healing people. So he started yelling. He heard the voice. He heard Jesus is coming. So he wanted to make sure that Jesus, that he got the chance to see Jesus. So he started shouting, thou son of David, have mercy on me, which shows great humility. And everybody said, you know, blind Bartimaeus, be quiet. You know, the Lord's got plenty to do. You know, that's the nature of man. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. But he didn't take off all of his clothes. He took off that coat that identified him as being the blind, poor Bartimaeus. And he went to Jesus with the expectation, I'm leaving that behind. That's not who I am anymore. I'm going to receive his healing. He could have gone, well, I'm going to hold it just in case it doesn't happen. And we do that in our own minds. We protect ourselves, and yet we're hurting ourselves. We need to step out of that comfort zone and step out on the word of God, just like Jesus had to say, you know, I am the Son of God. I know you don't like it, but I am the Son of God. You can't take it away from me. So he took that off. He went to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You know, we have to be clear too. What do we want? Don't be wishy-washy. You want your deliverance, you expect it. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy believing has made thee whole. He had that expectation. Jesus the healer was there. I'm going to be healed. That's what we have. Jesus the healer is actually inside of us. And he's given us the authority to go to all the ends of the earth and to minister deliverance. Anything that oppresses you. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Who's within us? That same God. So we need to take off those things that are holding us back. Leave in your seat that fear that, well, you know, it's just not my time yet. When the, you know, everyone that came to Jesus, they received their healing. He was only around for a year. And it says that if everything was written that Jesus did, that the volumes of, that the whole world could not contain the volumes that would be written in 1 year's time. And look at how much can happen if each one of us hold forth God's word and stand boldly, declare, my destiny is I'm a son of God and I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to give you love. And God's with you. It's not like you're just on your own, sheepishly. And I hope I know what to say. But we have the word of God. We need to grow and prosper in that word of God. Let's stand together in the fight the good fight of faith for one another. You can leave sickness and disease, any oppression of the devil and the devil at the door. And today I pray that you will receive this. And we're going to have ministering available today. And there's also at communion. Receive the word of God. By his stripes you were healed. That broken body, his body was broken for you to receive your healing. Jesus the healer is still here today in each one of our hearts. And the word of God is true and it will come to pass. So, God bless you.